Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God again. The network is a network of email groups all across the country, around the world, that you can join. We call it the Living Network. You can find it at thelivingnetwork.org or preparingyou.com or at hisholychurch.org. And you can join and you can meet people through emails on a local group. That's just email groups. The actual Living Network is when you actually begin to create living connections. Not just Facebook connections, but actual people that you meet, people you talk to, people you may work with, people you interact with, the people that you accomplish something with. That's the Living Network. And of course, the reason we're doing that is because in the days of Abraham, he created a network so that when five armies were invading and taking city-state after city-state, Abraham and his network put an end to it in one night because he had a network, a living network of people. And somehow or other, he connected those network of people so that when he went to save his nephew, Lot, other people joined with him in such numbers that they put an end to the tyrants who were marching into their country and into their community. Overnight, he had some sort of ability and power to do this that operated through this network of people that he had already created. He referred to setting up altars in these different places that he went, in these different valleys. He would set up altars. And somehow or other, these altars created this human network so that he and his, few hundred armed men who goes to face this huge army that was taking whole city-states one after another, Sodom and Gomorrah and others. When he went to confront that army, he had enough people in his network that they were able to defeat, and enough of a certain kind of people in his network to go and efficiently defeat that army overnight. Now that's the story, but the details of the network seem to be lost in a haze, as if we were looking through a smoky glass with a dim light, and people draw pictures, and they make Hollywood movies, Renaissance paintings of these events, and then you think, oh, that's the way it was, but that really isn't the way it was. That's the way somebody thinks it was. Now, when you really start thinking, how were these people so closely bound together? They didn't even have telephones. They didn't have internet. They didn't have Facebook. But somehow or other, they were bound together so closely that when Abraham's nephew needed saving, Abraham and hundreds of people came with sharp things and stopped that army in its track. Amazing. What was the bonding agent of such a network of people? Well, it was those altars. Those altars that he was building. So somehow or other, piling up stones out on the desert, slaughtering sheep and setting them up on top of those stones and setting them on fire so that they burn up, bound all these people together so that they would risk their lives in a battle with other men with really sharp things to save a guy who had gone off to live in the cities instead of sticking by his uncle? What was really happening? Come on now. You don't really think piling up stones and slitting the throat of a sheep and setting it up on that stones and setting it on fire was binding all these people together so that they would risk their life and limb leave their homes and go attack an efficient army just because they all burn sheep together? There must be more to it than that, don't you think? Something more than just burning up sheep. But somehow or other you think that this is what piling up those stones and sacrifices was all about. And that is one of the key elements of the strong delusion that has brought the whole world back into the bondage of Egypt. The sacrifices was the social welfare system inside the camp. The red heifer was actually symbolic of foreign aid. That's what the red heifer was all about. The sacrifice of the red heifer is about aid outside the camp. And what you should really be doing is building the altars of Abraham and the altars of Moses and the altars of Jesus Christ, made out of living stone, looking out amongst yourselves and finding men you trust and putting them over this business of what they call in the New Testament the daily ministration, the social welfare system, the religious social welfare system of Christ, which is what the church is supposed to be doing. It's not supposed to be tickling your ears. It's supposed to be smacking you upside the head with truth so that you repent and turn around and start living as if you actually loved your neighbor as yourself. An amazing concept. You know, most of these guys think, oh yeah, I love my neighbor as I sit here in my pew and listen to the music. No. You have to build altars of stone. Living stone. You see, you don't really love your neighbor when you sit in your pew and never give anything to the welfare of your neighbor. You only give stuff so that, you know, you put in a big stained glass window or a sound system in your church, you know, or cushion seats, or, you know, build a bigger dead building. But you're not taking care of the social welfare, the daily ministration we see in Acts 6. You're not doing that with your contributions. If anybody needs any real help, you know, want that regular check coming in, they got to go to the government that exercises authority, one over the other. And they got to be like them. They got to sign up for their welfare, their Corbin, their sacrifice. From men who exercise authority, who use that oaken staff every day. But they can call themselves Christians because they think a thought. They believe in Jesus. They believe that he's the Son of God. The devil believes he's the Son of God. He's just not going to do what Jesus wants him to do. That's just like most Christians. They all say they believe Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't want to do what he said. Because he said, don't be like those governments that exercise authority to provide the benefits of society. That's what he says. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he says that. Of course, he also says it when he says, love thy neighbor as thyself, which is what Moses said. But you somehow or other think it's love to send somebody to your neighbor's house to force them to give up money so that you can have free education. You think that's love. I think that's coveting your neighbor's goods. I think that will make you merchandise. I think it has made you merchandise. And so now you've got Common Core and you're saying, we want Common Core out of our schools. And it's not your schools. The schools belong to the benefactors who exercise authority. And you have to pay into them. And your schools are based on socialism. And socialism is a covetous system. And you're a sinner. But that's good news for you. Because now you can repent. And take your kids out of school and start homeschooling them. And you may have some trouble doing that. So I advise you to form congregations of record, congregations of testimony. Gather with other people who want to do the same thing. And help them as if they were yourselves. And they help you as if you were themselves. And now you're coming together in the name of Christ. Because that's what Christ came to do, is to help you see the truth. That to live and to build living altars of stone and sacrifice means you have to show up when an invading army takes your neighbor's nephew or whatever. I was referring to Abraham there, giving you kind of an allegory and using the metaphors so that when you yell uncle, somebody actually shows up. And that's what's going to happen, is absolute disaster is coming to the land. I don't care if you live in Australia or wherever, it's coming to all these lands, because it's coming to the whole world. You're going to call it the wrath of God, and it's just what you deserve. And some of you are going to cry uncle. But I don't know if anybody like Abraham's going to show up for you, because I don't know if you've repented. You're going to cry out, but the Bible tells us in several places that when you cry out, God's not going to hear you. He's actually going to say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Because you haven't been actively loving your neighbor as yourself. You've been actively loving yourself. You see, what Abraham was doing, what Moses was doing, what John the Baptist was doing, what Jesus Christ was doing, was creating a living network of people who actually cared about their neighbor as much as themselves. They actually gathered together to help one another. They gathered together for what they could give rather than what they could receive, because they knew it was better to give than to receive. They knew it was better to come to serve than to be served. Now, if you had a network like that of several million people, you would be ready to leave Egypt. But you don't have that yet. So don't even think about leaving Egypt. Think about getting a little bit more of Egypt out of you. Now, if you want to leave Egypt now, actually you can't leave Egypt, but if you want to step out of the jurisdiction of Egypt, you have to step into the jurisdiction of God. You have to belong to God. That's what the Levites did when they stepped out of the walled-in camp of the golden calf. That's what the ministers like Peter and the apostles and the 120 in the upper room did. They stepped out. They gave up everything they own, and they belonged to God. And they spoke to the people and said, look out amongst yourselves and find men you trust, and we will appoint them over this business. We have the power to appoint them over this business because Jesus has appointed unto us a kingdom that he took away from those who were not bearing fruit. And all you guys who think that religion is what you think about God are not bearing fruit. Religion is what you do to fulfill your duty to God and your fellow man. Once you've accepted that, now you can find out what the government of God really looks like. But we'll talk more about being a doer and what you can be doing when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom. Till then, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.